this morning. We're going to put this diagram up here so that we're going through this, and we wanted to explain some things about this because this is probably one of the most complicated passages in the Bible concerning this. But as we start out, I don't know if we'll get through it all this morning here because I want to go slow, because I want to start out and tell you, and it will be, I think, information to you how you interpret the scriptures so they don't contradict other scriptures, and what you have to do to get something that on the surface, for a layman to get out of that, you would have to know a lot of different things about the Bible in order to get this, and these days that are shortened. So we're going to go slow and show you how that it comes to this conclusion to get that Christ is going to shorten the days. Originally, it was 7-year tribulation period. But then the persecution became so intense that the Antichrist was killing anyone who wouldn't take the mark of the beast. He was going to kill every Jew that he could, and so forth. So God said, for the elect's sake, not for those he elected to be saved, but those he elected because they were saved by trusting him as their Savior. So in order to save a lot of other Jews and even some Gentiles from being killed by the Antichrist, because he has 10 of his kings all over the earth, divided the earth into 10 provinces, put his men over that, and he has armies. All of these 10 kings have armies in their sections of the world in order to hunt down anybody who doesn't have the mark of the beast, which is 666. So you have going to be running for your life. You're going to have to hide anywhere you can hide to stay away from anybody that is connected with the Antichrist, or you're going to be killed. You're going to be slaughtered. In fact, in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4, you'll find out that those that were killed there were beheaded. And you'll find out also the Antichrist will use that. You know, we don't want to see anybody, and they protect everybody from, you know, all these gross things and so forth like that. And but the Antichrist doesn't care about that. He'll scare you to death. He'll show you with the head being chopped off by the guillotine. That'll be all over the world. You can see every persecution. This is what you're going to face if you don't take the mark of the beast if we find you. He doesn't care about hurting your feelings or anything like that. He cares about one thing. Remember, the Antichrist is Satan himself. That has only indwelt two people that we know in the Bible, and that is Judas in Luke chapter 22, and also a human being who is indwelt by Satan himself, and those two, the human body of a human being with Satan, a human being, only a spirit being, indwelt this man, is known as the Antichrist. So it's actually two in one to make him the Antichrist. Because Satan, using the mind of this individual, using his thoughts and so forth, will use him in order to persecute and support himself as being Jesus Christ. Because you Christians, you won't be here. You'll go at the rapture. But he will use that philosophy to say this. These were the troublemakers, because you've got to remember, according to the book of Daniel and several places, the Antichrist comes as a peacemaker. So, as a peacemaker, you can't be witnessing to other denominations or anything else. You can't be doing that, because that violates the peace. You can worship as a Muslim, you can worship as a Lutheran, you can worship as a Baptist, you can worship as a Mormon, you can worship there, and however religion you got, even if you're an atheist, you can worship, that's fine. But you can't proselyte another religion. If you do, you have a right to kill that person that comes to you and tries to make you of their denomination. That's why in Revelation chapter 6, before the Antichrist, this is in the first 3.5 years, they die for their testimony, because they get saved after the rapture. You may have witnessed to some of them. You go at the rapture. It may be people you witness to. They're on into the tribulation. And then you've told them about the rapture. Well, when you've done that, they rejected Christ. What do you think to do with it? They are hooked up in a denomination, and then all of a sudden, their friends are missing. I mean, maybe their relatives are missing who are Christians and so forth. And then they trust Christ as their Savior. What is the first thing they want to do? They want to talk to their mother and dad. They want to talk to their brothers and sisters. They want their, we're saved. Don't you see it happen? Just like we've been witness to. But then, if they're caught witnessing and trying to get somebody saved, remember, those that are not saved are Satan's children. He doesn't want to lose one. He wants that, and he will kill you if you try to proselyte that lost person that's his child to make them a Christian, become a child of God, because as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, in John 1:12. So, Satan doesn't want to give up one of his children that he's deceived into hell to keep you from telling them about Jesus Christ or witnessing. That's why a multitude in Revelation chapter 6, when John was taken up, he said, I saw the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, how that they cried with a loud voice, how long will it be, O Lord, before you avenge our blood of them that killed us on the earth? They're killed before the mark of the beast is even put into effect because they witnessed. They were killed because of their testimony. Satan won't stand for that at all. Now, we come to a point and we've got all kind of numbers here. So God says, even in the last 3.5 days, when the mark of the beast is required, are you going to lose your life if you don't sell yourself out and you take the mark of the beast? You have sealed your fate to eternal damnation because you've taken the allegiance to the Antichrist. So God says that intensity is going to be so great, so big a slaughter all over, because you got to remember the 10 kings of the earth rule this earth under the auspices and their head of their father, which is Satan himself, indwelling a human body, claiming to be God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, or 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, or chapter 2, verse 4, who opposeth himself and exalteth himself above all that is called God, so that he as God setteth in the temple, declaring himself to be God, and therefore to be worshipped. So, that intensity is going, God said, I'm going to shorten those days, except those days be shortened, there would be no flesh saved. So I'm going to come prior to the completion of the 7 years in order to save a lot of people from dying, a lot of Christians who have not taken the mark of the beast, a lot of Jewish people, my people, that the 144,000 Jews who have the protection of God have led to the Lord, and therefore they refuse to take the mark of the beast, but he slaughters as many as he can find. God says, if I don't shorten those days, there'd be no flesh be saved. This is the world completely controlled by 10 kings and the Antichrist. You see how the situation is today, how that the Supreme Court and our senators and our wretches, everything they can, in order to get Christ out of everything, out of the schools, out of anything, out of everything, everywhere you go. Well, don't get Christ involved. Don't get Christ involved. We got to separate religion from schooling and so forth everywhere. And I remember we were writing articles for years up here for the Star, or for there was two. What about homosexuals? So anyway, we wrote an article about homosexuals, how God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and so forth like that, and how that they are haters of God, and how that they lie about God, and so forth. And anyway, at the end of my article, I put, you got to remember, God didn't create Adam and Harry, he created Adam and Eve. Well, they didn't print the article. So I go up to the Star Tribune, and I said, well, who censored this? So there was a lady up there, and she said, well, I didn't like your article. Well, I said, so what? Well, if you take the last part off, that God didn't create Adam and Harry, but Adam and Eve, we'll go ahead and print it. So you see, everything is in favoritism, and now they have come out. And if you didn't know that, the Attorney General said, we'll do everything within our power, within the law, in order to protect the homosexuals, the same-sex marriage. They just came out with that here a couple of weeks ago. Any of you see that or hear that? Did you hear? Good, yeah. So this is what they're going to do. The heck with you, we're going to protect anything that's immoral, unconstitutional, and marriage between husband and wife, same-sex marriage is fine, and now they're ordering your chaplains in the service that they have to perform same-sex marriages. Can you believe this? Okay, if this is going, the only reason I bring that up is, you think it is bad now with Christians here, and I'm saying it's too bad. There's two reasons. Number one, we don't have pastors that have the guts and backbone to stand up and teach their people. As David, I think he mentioned this, I listened to the tape, it had a wonderful message. But he went down there, and the first thing the pastor gets up and says there, well, I'm for, they have a right to do this, and so on and so forth. Yeah, I don't think you read the Bible, sir. We got so many, I should say, gutless preachers anymore, that they're one of the reasons that America is getting away with it. Plus, we have the leaders of our country that'll do anything to get elected. And that's what you're seeing, why they're catering to all of the sinful things that are going on, because they are in the majority now. And this is what's going to, and Obama's doing the same thing. But so much for that. So, let's go in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, all right? Let's go over here, and we'll get the foundation here, okay? So, just giving you that little bit of information to find out why that God is going to have to come prior to the full 7 years here in order to save probably hundreds and thousands of, I should say, Jewish Christians that have gotten saved by the preaching of the two witnesses, 144,000, and to save them from being slaughtered. Or he said, except there'll no flesh be saved. You've got to remember, the whole world is run by non-Christians. All of your churches are non-Christian that claim to be Christian, because if they were Christian churches, those people would have went at the rapture. They didn't go at the rapture because they had a work salvation. They had lying preachers saying your baptism will save you, your good works will save you, be a good person, and so on and so forth, and whatever it might be. But confusing the fact that there's only one way to heaven, and that is Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. He paid for your sins, plus nothing. His last words were, Tetelestai, it is finished. So you can't add anything to it. And Baptists, I don't know a Baptist church I'd even recommend anymore. We had a lady, they had one down, I think, in Jasper. So I called the guy down there. And I said, what about, oh, he said, I have your book. One of my friends mailed your book on Luther. Great book, great book. I said, well, tell me something. I said, I have a friend that lives close by. And I said, but this person would like to find a good Bible teaching church. Tell me about it. Well, we're the Baptist Bride. In other words, you can't, in any way, shape, or form, you can't take communion in our church unless you're a member. I don't know where in the world you find that at. You know, I thought a Christian could take communion at any church that they went to, if they're a Christian. But unless they're a member, they got to join your church before you allow them to take communion. The Baptist Bride is, if you didn't know this, only the Baptists are going to heaven. I said, man alive, most of your preachers aren't, let alone the congregation. You know, where do you get this kind of garbage at? My Bible says, very simply, that God loved me, and He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. He came down from heaven to this earth to take on a human body because He loved me. And He could, in that human body, without sin, He could go to that cross, and He could pay for every sin I've ever committed or ever will commit it, past, present, and future. The eternal reward of that is completely paid for, and God made me a promise. If I believe that, I promise you, you will never perish, but have eternal life. This man from Utah said, if you can find that message anywhere around here, you're hunting a needle in a haystack. You got tacked on it. Well, get out of your seat and walk the aisle. Now, John MacArthur, and I told this guy out there at Utah when he called, he said, man, you either one. I said, John MacArthur isn't even a saved man. Any man thinks you can lose your salvation, why would you lose it? You got to call God a liar. God said, I promise you, you'll never perish, but have everlasting life. It's a free gift. Five times, God says it's a free gift. It's bought and paid for. Don't add any garbage to it. Don't add any tradition to it. Don't have any philosophy to it. Tell the people, Jesus Christ loved you and He paid for your sins. That's all that you have to do, is nothing. Receive it. How do you receive it? By believing it is true. Belief, knowledge, faith. Faith and belief are used simultaneously. It just means you're trusting what God told you, that He gave His only begotten Son, take on a human body, go to the cross at Easter as we celebrate it, pay for your sins, and tell the world the last words out of your mouth are, "It is finished." In other words, you can't add anything to it. Quit this coming down the aisle. Quit this. If you're not doing this after you're saved, it has nothing to do with you going to heaven. Nothing. Works has nothing to do with you going to heaven. Because number one, you couldn't have any good works anyway enough to earn you eternal life. You'd have to be as righteous as Jesus Christ. And if you're already born, you already got sin, so you can't do that. How are you going to get rid of the sin? It's got to be paid for. Just because you quit doesn't mean that it evaporates. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if you're trusting anything other than the finished work of Christ, you're not saved. And if you think and call God a liar, then He's going to take back your salvation, and you've attacked the veracity of God, you've attacked His faithfulness, you've attacked His Word of God, and you are lost, sir, on your way to hell. You're a false preacher, inspired by Satan, and he loves you. MacArthur has ruined more people than you can imagine. Here was one out in Utah that, because of James Stewart in Guam, who were probably more on his website, he recommends us about everything, you know, we get more people from there. And he said, do you know Mr. Stewart? I said, yeah, he's a friend of mine. Never met him. He's a friend of mine. Well, I guess our name pops up there everywhere, you know. And he said, well, that's how I got on to you. I got on your website. He said, good night. I've never heard anything so clear, so simple. And I said, well, yeah, you've heard the Bible. The Lord said it. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Back, we better get going here because, you know, I'm getting off on a rabbit trail again. Okay. But I wanted to just bring that out. Matthew chapter 24, and we look here, and we find out here where it talks about, we'll begin here in verse 15. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15. Because we've got to have this foundation before we find out why God's going to shorten the days. It says in verse 15, when you therefore see the abomination and desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Now the abomination and desolation is very simply when the Antichrist breaks his covenant with Israel, goes into the temple, desecrates the temple, and declares himself to be God. Okay, let's go on. Let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. This is the Jews. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, but pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then should be the great tribulation, because the tribulation is the whole period. The last 3.5 years is known as the great tribulation, because then you have to take the mark of the beast, 666, in your forehead or on your hand, or you are a marked person to go to the guillotine to have your head chopped off. You say, this can't happen in America. It's not only going to happen in America, but it's going to happen all over the world. America will go with the Antichrist. We're Antichrist today, are we not? Look around you. You want to witness to somebody on the job? You got your hands full primarily. You may find one out of 50 or 100, but mainly you got your hands full. They don't want to hear it. Let's just do everything we want to do. If it's all right to me, I don't care who it tramps on, then do your thing because you have a right to be happy. So it doesn't matter who you run over or who you lie to or who you steal from. If it benefits you, just go ahead and do it. You know, just don't get caught. You know, you think that's not the philosophy? Well, you get your eyes open. Truthfully. And the judges are sympathetic with it because they'll turn the pedophiles out down here. Let's pick it up here. And let's notice here in verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except, other words, let's read that again. For then shall be the great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world. Do you realize what impact that is? There's never been a time like this on the earth after the rapture, and when the Antichrist, after 3.5 years, he makes a covenant with Israel, lets them worship like they want to worship in every other church, but he breaks that covenant after 3.5 years, sets himself up in the temple, runs the Jews out, seeks to kill every Jew he can get his hands on, and there's never been a time like this in the world. Now you got to remember, the world is now governed by 10 kings. The world is divided by 10 kings all over, which are nothing but demon-possessed men, under the auspices of the Antichrist. They're his buddies. They're there to do one thing, get as many into hell as they possibly can. They either take the mark of the beast or we kill them right now. The reason we kill them is we don't want witnessing to somebody else and stealing my children. This is Satan's children. They're his. They're lost. They're his children. And he's not giving them up. And if you try to get one of them, you're going to be killed. And there is a great slaughter all over this world. Where is America? Right in with it. There's nowhere America. This America that you know today won't exist anymore after the rapture. It won't be like this. Nowhere is it mentioned in the Bible. It's mentioned only inclusive of the nations that come against Christ at the Battle of Armageddon. The United States will be one of those in there, and this country will be controlled by a king appointed by the Antichrist over this section or part of the country, however he divides it, and you'll have to take the mark of the beast, or you will be killed. It's too bad we don't have that preaching anymore, is it? We don't have it. We don't have it. Pastors don't study it. Your colleges don't teach it. I look back 40 years ago or 35 years ago, they preached it all over. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. You had the Bible teachers that knew the Bible, taught it. I'll tell you, they were looking for the rapture back then. They didn't think it could get worse. And it's gotten worse, I'll tell you, by far. But it's gone down. Not since the world, beginning of the world, has it ever been like this. To this time, nor no shall ever be. And then God says, except I step in, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, that is, the saved of Israel. They're not elected to be saved. They're elected because they are saved. When you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're elected to be a son of his. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He didn't elect you. If he elected you, why didn't he elect everybody? Now, this is a Calvinistic bunch of junk that's put out by John Calvin years and years and years ago by a dead man. I don't know why pastors always want to go back to a dead man and claim his beliefs. I don't know. Why do you go back to Luther and claim his beliefs? The guy's lost on his way to hell. He's in hell today. He never trusted Christ as his Savior. He said, I believe Christ died and paid for your sins. Now, he bought my right to go to heaven, but he's not going to give it to me until I'm baptized. And he specifically says, your baptism makes you a child of God, frees you from the devil, gives you eternal life. And if you don't believe it, I'll bring my catechism next week and you can read it for yourself. Borrow one from a Luther. And read it. Read it in the baptism section right at the beginning of the Bible. Or beginning of the catechism. And if you get the large catechism, read it in the baptism section where it says, even if you don't believe, if we baptize you, your unbelief will not render void our preacher baptizing you. That is blasphemy out of hell. This is what you're living with today. And look how many people have been fooled. And there. So, God says, except I shorten those days in the tribulation period, you'll either take the mark of the beast, and you'll be, and have your head chopped off by the guillotine, so everybody can see it all over the world, and we hope you scare you to death, so you'll take the mark of the beast. Satan wants as many of you into hell as he probably can do it. He'll do it with the threatening of death with the guillotine. One of the most gross things to see is to see that thing come down and your head fly off on the ground somewhere. That'd scare a lot of people, wouldn't it? Sure it would, but that's what's going to happen. So, he says, except those days should be shortened, those days, then there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect, he's speaking about his Jewish people that trust Christ as their Savior, those days shall be shortened, and I'm going to come back. Now, we come into how much is it going to be shortened? Now we get into one of the most difficult sections of Bible prophecy that you can get into. It's one of them. There's some others, but this is one of that is a little bit difficult, but there's a basis on how you interpret Scripture. So, let's go in our Bibles over to the book of Daniel, all right? Let's go in our Bibles over to the book of Daniel, because this is where we have the three Scriptures over here, and they all are different. So, you've got to know, how are they to be applied to make sense out of them? What is the standard step to do in order to find out what God's talking about? When Peter wrote, he said, even when, when Paul preached, there are some things which are hard to be understood. And there's other things that are easy to be understood. This isn't one of the easy ones. But once you understand it, it's not hard anymore, right? Only thing you have to do is understand it. So we're going to show you how you understand it, all right? This is a dilly. You find I haven't found, well, I shouldn't say that because it isolates us too much. But we go to chapter 8. Let's go over here to chapter 8, okay? In chapter 8 over here, we begin to find where we have a number here concerning the Scriptures here, all right? So let's begin here in verse 13 and 14, all right? In verse 13, we find out this. Daniel is probably a whole prophetic book. It's one of the most prophetic books there is in the Bible. It gives the four governments and the nations that are going to reign and so forth like that. Babylon, Medo-Persian, the Grecian Empire, the Roman Empire, and so forth, and come on down to the extended legs to a one-world government and so forth, and lists them. So he goes into a lot of detail in Daniel chapter 2 and 7. But now we're getting into some real specifics here that it takes some coordination of applying Scriptures. If you don't have a knowledge of other Scriptures concerning to the same thing, there isn't a layman in the world that can get it. So you have to have more knowledge than just that. So here we go. Here's the first one. In verse 13, then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? Now, verse 14. Before we get to verse 14, we have some key things here, right here, that you want to point out, because we're going to examine the other two scriptures that are different. And we're going to find out we have the same basis to go from, and then you will see as we deal out this. This is one of the complicated things. Okay, notice what it says. How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation? The transgression of desolation is when the Antichrist goes in, declares himself to be God, and remember Matthew 24:15. Therefore, when you see the abomination and desolation of spoken by Daniel the prophet, this is what he's speaking about right here. Okay, so we know this. The Antichrist breaks his covenant after 3.5 years, right? Got that down? That's the key point. The middle of the tribulation. Now, you don't have to study too hard, because when the book comes out, it has it all explained to you. So don't feel if you miss something or you don't get it. When you get the book, we have put the whole thing in there so that it'll be easy for you to understand. You can go over and do it. I'm just giving you a head start. Okay, here we go. Okay, let's go on down. The daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot. So we know it's talking about the middle of the tribulation, the desolation. How long will it be trodden underfoot? So you have a basis there. You have a basis of the middle of the tribulation is speaking from. It's going to be trodden underfoot. How long? Verse 14 tells us. Okay? Let's go on down. Now we come to verse 14, and we got to do something else, because when you're studying Bible prophecy, you want to make sure, if you have any question, especially when you're getting into something that's complicated, you've got to look up the Hebrew words. You've got to do that. So, let's go to verse 14, all right? Here we go. And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Well, the sanctuary is not going to be cleansed until Christ comes back and chains Satan for 1,000 years. So the only way the sanctuary is going to be cleansed of the abomination, which is Satan declaring himself to be God after 3.5 years, then for that to be cleansed, that means he's thrown in to the bottomless pit. So how long is that going to be? So we come down here and we look, 300 days. Well, that's sort of interesting here, because if we take 300 days, we look up, and days is not in the majority text. Now, if you go, and you can get this, if you have a copy of the Septuagint, how many of you know what the Septuagint is? How many do not know what the Septuagint is? Okay, raise your hand. There's nothing wrong with that. Many people don't. The Septuagint is the first Greek translation of the Old Testament scriptures. It's the Greek translation of the Old Testament scriptures. Because there were so many of the Jews taken into captivity, and especially under Greece and Alexander the Great and so forth, and there, that they needed the scriptures. They had lost track as far as the Hebrew, because they were now speaking the Grecian language and so forth there. So they made a translation from the Greek, or from the Hebrew to the Greek, so the Jews could read it and understand it. When you look this up into the Septuagint, which gives you the Greek, and it gives you the English from the Greek, when you get that and you look up there and you look this verse up, you will find out that it's evenings and mornings, not just there. So evenings and mornings of these days given make one day. So it would be half of this number that would equal one day. So when you do that, you come out with, here you have 1,150 days equals 38 months. Now, you figure that out at 30 days a month, and you come out to 3 years, 2 months, and 10 days. That's the shortest of the figures we're going to give you. You come out with 3 years, 2 months, and 10 days. All right. Now, let's go to the other two places where two other figures concerning the same time that is given. So, remember what we got. How do we know when does this figure take place now? What does verse 13 say? Concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot. So we know that it is from the middle of the tribulation to the end when Christ comes back, right? That's what it says. You just got to read it and see what it says. Now, we have two other times that are given. So go with me to Daniel here in chapter 12. All right, here we go. Daniel chapter 12. Interesting, isn't it? Okay. Now, Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. Now here we get another time. Okay. Daniel chapter 11, or chapter 12, verse 11, speaking about. Now, we find out, let's go to chapter, or to verse 10. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Okay, you're of the wise, so you're going to understand. If you don't now, you're going to get it, okay? Verse 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, okay, and the abomination of making desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. So you want to put that number down, 1,290 days, okay? Now, that's 3 years and 7 months. You figure in Jewish calendar, 30 days to a month. So just figure it up. Comes out to 3 years and 7 months. Now that's a little bit different than what we had in Daniel chapter 8. But just remember that. Because we have now 3 years, 2 months, and 10 days, according to Daniel 8:14. Chapter 11, we have 3 years and 7 months, right? Right. So, having 3 years and 7 months, and I'm going to stop there a minute because in the next verse we have another set of times. Okay, so let's go on down. Here we go. In verse 12, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days. That's 3 years, 8 months, and 15 days. So, we have in the middle of these 2 days of Daniel chapter 11, 3 years and 7 months, we have in the middle of that there, we take the Daniel, the shortest time, and subtract it from Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. So it'll be 1,290 days. That's 3 years and 7 months. And you subtract the lowest one here, Daniel here, except the days be short, and subtract it from that. When you subtract it from that, you get 4 months and 20 days that Christ is going to come prior to the 7 years. Now, we got Daniel chapter 12, 12. We got some more days. Let's go on down to the very next verse, okay? Here we go. But go thy way, chapter 12, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 and 5 and 30 days. That's 3 years, 8 months, and 15 days. 3 years, 8 months, and 15 days. That's very interesting. So, we come here and begin to find out how in the world does this fit in. 3 years, 8 months, and 15 days. Daniel chapter 12, verse 11, 3 years and 7 months. Well, that gives a difference of 45 days. So we know this. Notice what it says. In verse 13, but go thy way and wait till the end be, for thou shalt rest in thy stand and thy lot at the end of the day. So we have the day shortened by 2 months here. Shortened here by 4 months and 20 days. But now we have an extended, from the time that Christ comes back and shortens that, we have an extended time of 45 days. So how in the world did we figure that up? Now, everything is figured by, because each of these is taken from the abomination and desolation here in the middle of the tribulation period. So all three of those sets are from the middle of the tribulation period. So why have we got three different times? We got three different times because of this. The giving of Daniel chapter 12, verse 11, 3 years, 7 months. We subtract Daniel 8:14, 3 years and 2 months and 10 days. So we get the time that it's shortened, that Christ is coming back earlier than the full 7 years. But then we got another thing here in Daniel 12:12, but he says, and if you look at the last verse here, but go thy way till the end be. And he says in verse 12, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days. That's 3 years, 8 months, and 15 days, which is, there we find out, that is an extra 45 days. Well, how in the world can that be? But you're to wait for that. Well, if you're going to wait for that, then that means very simply that when Christ comes back, there's 45 days that he is, before he sets the kingdom up, there's 45 days that he is going to do what he promised he would do. First, he changed Satan. Second, he is the judgment of the nations. Third, is the Battle of Armageddon. That's when everybody comes and the nations come, led by the Antichrist here, and God destroys them all. That's where the blood flows as deep as the horse's bridles in Valley Jehoshaphat, out over there around Megiddo and that great plain up there of Escalon and so forth. That's where you find out the blood flows as deep as the horse's bridles in Valley Jehoshaphat. they're all killed instantaneously. Then we have the resurrected bodies of those come back, those that are up in heaven now, that come back with Christ. And these are those, all of the saved of the Jews or so forth come back, because God promised them, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that all of the Jewish will inherit the land that God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So, they haven't got it yet. This is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. This 7 years is the last 7 years of the Old Testament to be fulfilled. The church age was just sandwiched in. And God said, time out Israel, when they rejected Christ. Time out Israel. But only 483 years have been fulfilled. Therefore, after 483 years, Christ shall be cut off. He was crucified. But I came unto my own received me not. And John chapter 1. So, he said, time out Israel. I'm not dealing with Israel. Now I'm dealing with the world, where there's neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female. You're all one in Christ. Whoever you are, whatever nationality, whatever sex, whatever this, when you trust Christ, you're part of the body of Christ. Now, after the rapture, which takes the body of Christ to heaven, then, we find out then, here comes the institution of the last 7 years, because it was 490 years prophesied concerning the nation of Israel. And this last 7 years is their punishment for portraying Christ. I shouldn't say portraying, I should say forsaking Christ, worshiping false gods and so forth. And if you think God's going to spare America and this godless country we live in now, you got another thing coming. You got to protect your children from the homos and the pedophiles out here. And I made a mistake. I think I mentioned here a couple of weeks ago, and I should have clarified this, but I truthfully thought you'd have no sense to realize it. There are folks that homeschool their children. I wasn't speaking of those. When I say, you know, buddy, you better check on your children. Okay, I'm not saying you shouldn't, but I was thinking about those that are connected with public schools, because they have the greatest influence on them to get your child to take drugs and go on like that. Check on them. That's what I had thought in my mind. You don't have near that influence on your children if you homeschool them, because you got them at home. You know, I mean, you don't have that. So, but my mindset was mainly those that are in public schools, that I have seen good kids taken away because parents didn't check on them and see what they're involved, including the girls, including the boys, both. I have some tapes at home of a man and his wife who could not believe his daughter was taken up and wrong with the wrong crowd until they began to see behavior problems with her, their daughter. She began to be rebellious and so forth like that, and not telling me what to do, and you're a domineering mother, you're a domineering dad, and so forth. And all of this come out to get her not to listen to her parents, but to go with the crowd she was running with that her parents didn't know she was running with. So you don't have near that when you have public school, or when you have homeschooling. So when I was speaking of that, I sort of want to clarify that a little bit, that we were not attacking you homeschoolers because you don't have quite near the problem you do if they're in a secular school. But in a secular school, you better check home. You see? Okay. So much for that. How's it? Oh my goodness gracious. We'll stop here with the shortening of the days. And then there's 45 days extra concerning the same time. And why is that? So we're going to show you that these feasts here, there were seven of them. Four of them have been fulfilled. We have three that haven't. They will be fulfilled when Christ comes back. And it fits right into prophecy absolutely perfectly. 30 days will take with the chaining of Satan, judgment of the nations, battle of Armageddon, and the resurrected bodies. And when we have the Old Testament feast, 7-1 is the seventh month, 7-10, 7-15, those have not been fulfilled in Bible prophecy. We'll show you where the other four have. These haven't. They have to be. And you'll see why there's 45 days after Christ comes back and shortens it 4 months, therefore, and or I should say 4 months and 20 days. Then there's an extra 45 days. That's why we have three sets of figures. It is one a little more complicated that very few preachers ever get on. I haven't found anyone that's explained it yet. And I have many, many commentaries. but it's not that complicated once you get the foundation. Now, I want to ask you something real before we close. What is the foundation that you go from? Is anybody, I've said it several times, these numbers start from what? What foundation do they start from?
AD.
Huh?
The beginning.
AD.
No.
Abomination of desolation.
The middle of the tribulation period, when he breaks the covenant with the nation of Israel. See, the rapture takes place, and then you have a seven-year tribulation, but the first 3.5 years, he makes a covenant with Israel and says, you know, you have peace. And they do. It's after 3.5 years that he stands up in the temple and says, and this is the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet in Matthew 24:15, that he declares himself to be God. The last 3.5 years. So, all these three figures start from where again? The middle of the tribulation period with the abomination and desolation of spoken of by Daniel the prophet, when the Antichrist goes in, breaks his covenant with Israel, and tries to kill every Jew that he possibly can, and he will kill them by the thousands. That Christ says, if I don't come back sooner, and I'm going to come back here 4 months and 20 days sooner, or there will be no flesh be saved. You've never seen an anti-God world like what's coming. You ought to thank God that you're saved and you're going to heaven at the rapture, and you're not going to witness this only from heaven. You're not going to have to be living through it. Aren't you glad you're a Christian? Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ loved you and died for you and paid for your sins? The billfold sin, I'm a sinner. God says, Max House, don't go to hell and pay for your sin. You don't have to. I did it 2,000 years ago. This hand represents Christ. He said, I paid for your sins. They're all paid for. Why would you go to hell and pay for your sins when all you got to do is accept it? And you accepted it by, I believe what you're telling me for. Thank you for paying for my sins. Your sins are paid for. 2,000 years ago, they were nailed to the cross, and I give you my righteousness, and you're going to heaven on the righteousness that you could never have yourself. I'll give it to you free because I paid for your sins. So I'm found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is by faith in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? I don't deserve it, but buddy, I got it. Because love loved the sinner like me. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. If you've never trusted Christ, boy, trust him. Or you're going to be living in this part here when the rapture takes place. You don't want to do that. It'd be the worst decision of your life. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for the Word of God. Some things are hard to be understood, but once you understand them, they're not really hard to be understood. They're only hard to be understood before we understand them. So we do a little search and that for. And this is a challenge. We thank you for it. Bless each one here. Give us a good day in Jesus' precious name. Amen.